Hey, this is John O'Connor from one of the last Brooklyn's premier hybrid metal bands. And if you're talking about premiere, you are going to talk about the premier podcast of the Mosh Pit with my boy Wes. Listen in. Turn it up loud.
Welcome to the Mosh Pit, your home for unsigned punk, rock, and metal artists, where your music goes to be heard.
Oh, well, I guess we'll do this intro. Welcome to the Mosh Pit. I'm your host, Wes Everett, with my awesome guest with me today.
My name is John, and I'm the lead singer of the band One of the Last, hailing from Brooklyn, New York.
How are things in Jersey, then?
Yeah, I'm in Brooklyn maybe once or twice a month for, like, practice and stuff like that, and we're also having drum tryouts. And, it's been going. It's not been going good. It's not been going bad. It's just been going.
Yeah, I get that.
And it's one of the hardest instruments to replace, too. I mean, everyone can play a guitar, whether it's good or bad. I mean, people know how to play it. You find a drummer on, like, Bandmix or on, like, Craigslist, it is impossible. I mean, they're all, like, you know, 70 years old, and they're like, hey, yeah, I want to play. Or can we do stuff on the weekends only? Because I have to work. No, man, we're trying to make a life out of this. So, you know, we turned down many people like that. The tryouts we had, you know, we're really good, but there was always some weird circumstance that made them not come back or made us not want to bring them back. So it's literally just been a goddamn train wreck. But wow. Yes, you need a drummer, unfortunately, in rock.
Yeah, and down here they're like, I swear, there's like one drummer for seven bands.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
They're not good either.
No. No. There's a few of them that are like, you know. And then there's some that are like,
you get like a Joey Jordison. You know, you'll get like a Lars Ulrich now.
Yeah.
Not throwing any shade at Lars, but I mean, come on, people.
Yeah, may as well. Why not?
Yeah.
So how many different instruments do you play? Are you
right now all I do in the band is sing or scream, or you know, a variation of both, or at least attempt to do both. Depending on what your definition of it is. But I've been screaming and singing since I was 14.
Oh wow.
My voices have been shot for the last 19 years.
Wow. Totally worth it, right?
I guess. I mean, this shit better be fucking worth it.
Hey, man, you're on the Mosh Pit, so, you know, it's got you somewhere.
Yes, I did something right. Yes. See, well, one thing right, 99 things wrong.
That's right. Hey, how do you think I got here?
Yeah, exactly. See, 99 bad guests, one good guest. See how it works?
Yeah. Hey, yeah. That's that 1%, right?
You're damn right.
So, speaking of One of the Last, when did you guys become One of the Last? When did you guys put the band together?
So I actually joined the band in 2019, but I kind of know the backstory. So back in 2015, they were a band, and by they, I mean the two guitarist players, Parker and Mario, and also our bassist, Tripp. They were in a band called Unholy Dispute, which got some traction in the New York City area. Then they decided to break things off, do their own thing, and then they came up with One of the Last. So they had two singers before me, so I'm the Gary Sharon of the band. And other two didn't quite – something wrong happened with each and every one of them. So they hit me up on Bandmix. I was looking for another project to do. And it was actually Mario who reached out to me and was like, hey, man, I heard your samples that you put up on Bandmix. And we would love to have you try out. So I said, all right. So went down over there, down to Brooklyn, and tried out about maybe two or three times. And then I got asked via text message, hey, yeah, why don't you join the band? Like, I guess. don't be that enthusiastic about it. But I joined the band, and I don't want to say the rest is history because history didn't happen yet. But I've been with them for the last 2-3 years now. Just cranking out as many tunes as possible, and by many tunes we mean three. So we have three up on our streaming services on YouTube and stuff like that. We have two more coming. I think I think we're trying for May and July to release them both. Both will be accompanied by lyric videos. And, yeah, we're just taking the world one month at a time.
Very cool. Very cool.
The Dev Band, Shameless Life.
Are
So your influences, you guys are, you know, we've got a lot of Avenged Sevenfold, Metallica, Pantera, Five Finger influences. Are there any other that really come to mind when you think of One of the Last?
Everyone and no one all at the same time. Yeah. And I'll explain. No one really has a set answer of who we actually sound like. So like what you just did, you just rattled off like five different bands. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are actually some bands out there where you're like, oh my God, they're a carbon copy of Linkin Park or a carbon copy of Metallica or stuff like right. that. We just take influences from like 10 different bands from off the top of our head. And we just literally go into the studio, record it down. We're just going, man, who the hell is going to listen to this shit? And surprisingly enough, a lot of people listen to this shit. So it's, you know, it's crazy. Like we've heard, you know, all the bands you mentioned, you know, throwing Metallica in there. The craziest one was, what the fuck was it? Oh yeah. It was if Adam Levine sang for Metallica.
Oh, wow. It,
to me. And I'm like, I do not sound like fucking Adam Levine. You know, it made no sense, but they're like, that's what I hear. So I'm like, I guess that's a good thing. You know, It's what we're trying for is a unique sound, but a familiar sound all at the same time. And I think we have accomplished that so far with the three songs.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys, like I said, I love playing your stuff and, you know, Wallflower. Let's talk about Wallflower. What was it like putting that song together, you know, really getting into it?
It actually all started from the chorus. I was trying to fit the chorus into a different song, and I sung it and obviously didn't fit whatsoever in that song. And Mario's like, dude, that's a hit chorus. I'm like, really? Okay. It's like, all right, well, you know what? I'm going to create a whole song around it. And that's what he did. And that's basically what you hear today. And we just try to make it as catchy as possible. I mean, the lyrics are pretty straightforward. It's about, you know, wanting love that you deserve instead of the love that, you know, you're just settling down with. And it's based off of the quote from Perks of Being a Wallflower, hence the name of the song. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the rest is history. We just threw in a bunch of different things in there, threw in a random breakdown, bunch of different screams. It is a bitch to sing live. I'm not going to lie to you. there's just so many parts to it, but it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. So we have, you know, myself singing it. We also have Parker doing clean harmonies while Tripp is also doing like random screams here and there. So yeah, it all came together and, you know, you could hear the final product now.
Very cool. We will, it'll be a good segue. We're going to play that song here next.
Ooh.
Ooh, isn't that nice when you can segue into a song? So you're from Brooklyn. You're from up there. Your accent, I didn't even pick it up until this last question, which is really good at hiding that. Proud of you there, bud.
Dude, I have no idea I have an accent until, I don't know, I think like recently. I think I was out in Vegas and I was at a Mexican restaurant and a waitress is like, oh my God, I love your accent. I'm like, what accent? Because obviously, you know, if you're in a certain area for so long, you know, you just talk and it's just nothing like registers. Right. But then when you go to a different area, like if you go by where you live, mm-hmm. obviously I stick out like a goddamn sore thumb.
You got that Marky Mark Wahlberg sound to you there.
Oh, bullshit. That is not a Boston accent whatsoever. Whatsoever, huh?
Oh,
you know, come on, feel it.
Got to rag on you a little bit, man.
My God, I mean, to think what trajectory that guy's career went from. He went from a goddamn one-hit wonder to one of the biggest actors on the planet. That's like if Cisco became like an Academy Award-winning actor. Yeah. Like, think about how absurd that would be. The guy who sung the thong song is in the goddamn Parted, you know, or, you know, in the remake of The Godfather or something. I don't know. But in like the biggest movie star, this is the exact same thing, but Marky Mark.
Yeah. 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 Hollywood, man. It's amazing, ain't it?
Yeah. I mean, you fuck the right people. You get really far.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And obviously, we haven't fucked the right people yet. We're getting there, though.
Getting there.
Slowly spreading the seed. Yes.
Anyway, back.
It's funny. You're only going to be able to use like 3 minutes of this actual interview.
Oh, no. I'm using the whole thing. People just have to get over it.
You're damn right.
They're going to be like, God, what happened here? This interview just went somewhere else.
Oh, I could bring it anywhere, but I could always bring it back.
There you go. So being up there, New York, Jersey area, yes, sir. What are some of your favorite venues to play in that area?
Well, we play a lot in New York City. You know, everyone says the city, but everyone listening to this, we're like, well, they play the city by me. No, it's the city. When we say the city, it's New York. But seriously though, we played a place called Kingsland. We've played place called Dingbats in New Jersey. It's a small ass punk bar. It's a lot of fun there, but it looks like it, you know, have you ever walked into like a tiny ass venue and you look on the wall and it's like wet for some strange reason, but there's nothing wet in the entire place. Like the walls kind of bleed a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing in Dingbats. So you don't know what kind of weird chemicals are on the wall or what kind of diseases you could catch. But God damn, it's a great venue. We fucking love playing there. Yeah, so like what we strive to play is the bigger venues. You know, in New York City, you have Irving Plaza, you have Gramercy Theater, you have Hammerstein Ballroom, Terminal 5. All those big venues where obviously all of our influences have played. And then obviously you have the pinnacle, which is Madison Square Garden. Mm-hmm. And that you can say that name anywhere and people automatically know what it is.
Oh, yeah.
And New Jersey, basically the same thing. You know, I mentioned Dingbats already. But you have a place called Starland Ballroom, which has hosted numerous Coheed and Cambria DVD shoots. Go figure. You have that. You have the Stone Pony, obviously. Then another one of those iconic venues. And then, like, the pinnacle over there would be, like, a you know, MetLife Stadium or Giant Stadium, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. Central Center, PNC Bank Art Center. The BB&T Pavilion down in Camden, which is kind of a Philly venue, but no one really counts it as Philly. But yeah, there's venues all over the place for the biggest bands, the smallest bands. And, you know, I'm not too sure if you have it down in Atlanta, but we have a lot of like Knights of Columbuses or VFWs where, you know, you put a lot of local shows at to really hone your craft. Can't speak today. But yeah, that's where you start off. If you're good, then you move up to the next kind of tier of venues and then tier after that, so on and so forth. But the problem with New York venues, a lot of it falls down onto the promoters. Mm-hmm. Because what they do, and I don't care if I'm shit talking or anything, but what they do is they would overbook a band. So let's say, for example, they book Bleeding Through, for example. So they book Bleeding Through, but for a lot more money than what they should be getting paid. And the promoters realize, oh shit, I'm really in debt here. What do I do? Oh, we'll stick about 10 different local bands on there and charge them each $500 or $1,000 to play the show. So the more you pay, the higher your placement is. So, and one thing's for sure, I don't mind pay for play as long as it's worth it. If I'm dropping $1,000 for a band like Bleeding Through, I don't think it's worth it. Personally, I love Bleeding Through. That's, you know, I'm just throwing out a band there. But yeah. You get a lot of those bands where it's like, hey, you know, I was once on Metal Blade Records. Now give me $100,000. And these fucking dumbasses do it.
Hmm. Wow.
But like I tell everyone in New York City, you're when you play a show, you're not only against other venues that are putting on shows. You're up against Broadway. You're up against goddamn Knicks games, Ranger games, whatever else. You're up against goddamn bar trivia nights. I mean, there's a million and a half things to do in New York City. So for a person to come out to your show, that's really rare, believe it or not.
Wow.
Wow. Yes. It's tough in there, you know. Like the old saying is, you know, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere, which is bullshit, by the way. But yeah. Yeah, it is tough to be a band in New York City. Absolutely.
The Sprockets, Matchbook Strike.
But your umbrella's catching all the symptoms of a broken down system. Dealing with your face spans over decades. Why?
sucks, man. Atlanta, we've got the VFWs, we've got the rinky dink little bars, and then we've got the like mid-range bars. I'll name drop a couple of them, like Schnitzel Bar and
I'm sorry, did you say Schnitzel Bar?
Smith's.
Oh, Smith's. Oh, I'm like, really? There's a fucking schnitzel bar? That's weird. But okay.
Yeah, right. We should open one of those, though.
Yeah, why not? Just bratwurst and metal.
Yeah. Hey, let's do it. But like one of our biggest venues is the Masquerade here.
Of course.
In Atlanta, you know, and
heaven, hell, and purgatory.
Exactly. Yep. And they're one of the kind of the melting pots of you could go see the band that's playing in the garage next door, or you could probably go see, I don't know, Saving Abel or possibly Metallica. I doubt Metallica, but maybe.
Hey, you never know.
Never know. The guys there, they do a good job booking, though, so they could get them.
Yeah, same thing with New York City. We have a place called Webster Hall. I forgot all about that place, but it's three different floors. And, you know, for example, one night I saw in the basement, Alisana was playing. In the middle floor, you had Danger Kids and Galactic Empire were playing. And on the top floor, you had Good Charlotte and 303, all in one night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And if you, you know, if you hide your wrist with a wristband and stuff like that, you can have access to all three. The security over there doesn't care.
Yeah, just wander around. Oh, I'm trying to find my friend.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't help that, like, if you're on the top floor, the bathrooms are, like, either on the middle or in the basement. So, essentially, say, hey, I'm going to the bathroom and then just walk into the venue.
Yeah.
So, that night, I saw about, like, 7 or 8 bands for absolutely free. And it was great.
That sounds awesome, man. That sounds awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So, let me ask you, if you could collaborate with an artist, dead or alive, who would you choose?
Me personally, it would be Chester Bennington. I am a goddamn diehard Linkin Park fan. You know, whatever they came out with, I really loved. And, you know, it is hard to talk about it, obviously, you know, for those who have been living under a rock. Chester passed away a few years ago. But, you know, I'm such a diehard fan. I actually went out to Hollywood for their final show where they had a bunch of different guests and stuff like that come out. So they had like Machine Gun Kelly. They had Jonathan Davis of Korn. They had M Shadows and Sinister Gates of A7X come out. They had basically everyone but Surge from System of Down come out. They had No Doubt, Alanis Morissette. They had literally everyone across the board. Yeah. And yeah, just being there, there wasn't a dry eye in the entire venue. Like, that was one of the most it was like a bittersweet type of concert, but it was those shows that you'll remember for the rest of your life. Yeah. So, I mean, granted, you know, thankfully everyone else is still alive, so I could work with, you know, Mike Shinoda. I could work with Johan. You know, it doesn't matter, any one of those guys, just even pick their brains on, you know, how they got this far, how they were able to put out album after album and still have people listening. And the one cool thing about Linkin Park is they're one of those bands where no two albums sound alike. So obviously the top two is Hybrid Theory and Meteor, the first two albums that came out. If you really listen to it, they're two completely different albums.
Oh yeah.
And then the following record is Minutes to Midnight, which is a whole another album. Completely different than the first two, and then you have 1,000 songs. I could go on and on, but you know, no two albums are the same, and that's what I kind of like about One of the Last is no two songs are the same. So we have obviously Wallflower we just discussed. We also have a song called Determined, completely different. We have a song called Shotgun, which sounds like a goddamn Hatebreed track. So that's completely different. And you know, the two songs that we have coming up, we have Fear of the Unknown, which kind of sounds more Five Finger Death Punch. Five Finger Death Punch and Bullet kind of Bullet for My Valentine smashed together, so that came out pretty good, very catchy. We have another song called Survivor also coming out, very heavy, both lyrically and musically, but you know, all those five songs sound completely different, and we have one we're working on now which sounds completely different than everything. But the main important thing that I want to say for other artists and other bands out there is try a lot of things new, but always be yourself. So, for example, are you aware of the band A Day to Remember?
Yes.
Okay. So they just put out an album not too long ago, and it's not good. And this has come from someone who loves A Day to Remember. Now, I have no problem with experimenting, but I'd rather listen to a track by A Day to Remember, which is, you know, if they want to do, let's say, a country song. Mm-hmm. I would love to hear an A Day to Remember song with a country influence rather than a Day to Remember song or a Day to Remember trying to write a country song, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So that's what I love telling bands all the time. Experiment all you want, but don't get rid of that core sound that made you or breaked you, whatever.
Mm-hmm. That's good advice. Because there's a lot of bands that fall for that and fall into that trap of, let's try something new, but your fan base is going, why?
Oh, yeah. and there's a huge case of that with one band. They're called Paris. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. But they were on Rise Records, and they came out with an album, I think, in 2015 called White Noise. And it's a female-fronted band, and they were great. They were like a heavy but poppy all at the same time. Their next album was very electronic, and I swear to God, their fan base just evaporated.
Wow.
Yeah, so it does happen. And, you know, the sophomore slump is 100% real.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even – I know you're probably not a country guy, but the band Perry, you know, they had that started off country – reformed themselves and came back as pop, and then they reformed themselves again and went into some kind of synth, like electro kind of thing.
Really? The If I Die Young band?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And now they're like nowhere.
Yeah, I haven't heard that name in Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
probably. I mean, I don't follow country, so yeah. Since that song, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they had two more after that, and then it was, where'd they go? So I guess it's kind of universal. Everybody wants to change something.
Absolutely. I mean, look, as a musician, I understand playing the same songs over and over again. It gets taxing on you. You get fucking bored with it. But you have to make believe on stage. It's like, hey, we're playing this for the first time, and we're stoked to do this. It's like, all right, great. I mean, you could ask anyone in my band. I swear to God, the song Determined, we've played at least 500 times. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, we love playing it just because we always know that there's someone in the audience that has never seen us before. Mm-hmm. And we're playing for that person. So we're not playing for the diehards who have been coming out. Not to say that we don't like them. But, you know, we just like playing for the new people. That this is their first exposure to us. Right. So they don't want to see someone bored up on stage going, hey, I'm determined. Yeah, you know the fucking words. Yeah. Because they're in the crowd going, no, I don't know the words.
Right. So. Yeah. You've got those guys. Because once you build your core fan base and your hardcore fans, you've got, you know, they know what song you're going to do next. They know where you're headed. They probably know that story you're about to tell in between those songs.
Yeah,
but there's a guy in the back. There's a guy in the back that wandered in off the street and was like, I wonder who these guys are. Never heard of them before. Let me go check these guys out.
Yeah.
And now you've got a new fan.
Exactly. Or you have some guy who's like, no, fuck these guys. And you just lost a potential new fan. So it works either way.
Either way, they're going to talk about you.
Yeah. Hey.
Man, I saw the sorriest band the other night. God. Don't even waste your time to check these guys out.
Absolutely. They're called One of the Last.
That's right. But somebody's going to go out there and go, they can't be that bad. Let me check them out.
Yeah. Yeah. And they check us out and they're like, oh my God, they're great. Or, oh my God, that guy is accurate.
Yeah. Hey, when I first started this whole podcast thing, dude, we used to look on Reverb Nation. You remember that antique show?
Of course.
Yeah. That horrible webpage. Dude, we'd just see what was near us, and we'd just go, and sometimes we'd go for the headliner, and the headliner wouldn't be shit.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh, my God, give my business card to that opening band. Don't let them get away. But you came for the main event. Whatever. those guys were all right.
Yeah, it's usually the bands, the one-hit wonder bands. So, I'm not saying that these bands suck, but Adelita's Way or like a Saving Abel, yeah. Like a lot of those are like, hey, play the one song, man. Mm-hmm. You know, or like you go to a Buck Cherry song, play Crazy Bitch, man. Yep.
That's all that's on the head, right?
We got other songs. We don't care.
Right. Tyrant. Apostle. My blood will grow roots.
Like Atlanta Radio, The Who, they only did one song, right?
Yeah, The Who, yeah, that's one song, yes.
Yeah, that one song, the only song they ever played.
Who.
Exactly. I'm glad somebody else feels this pain. So what do you think, as far as your accomplishments with multiple bands, mm-hmm. playing in New York, what do you think your biggest accomplishment is? As of today.
Oh, fuck. That's a good question because I'm a very cynical person. So I don't think I reached anything yet, but that's in my own mind. Like people outside going, oh my God, but you played with, you know, you played with Dope before, you played with Combi Christ, you played with, what other band play with, Warbringer. We played with all those bands. Isn't that cool? I'm like, yeah, I mean, I guess that's cool, but you know, 90% of the audience was there for them. And the 10%, it's like, hey, we got new fans, which is always good. But, you know, it's not like there's a difference between a packed house there to see you and you play as an opener for a packed house. It's two distinct. But in terms of accomplishments, you know what? As something small as getting music out there, because there are a bunch of garage bands out there that have just been playing and playing for years on years, and they don't even think about making a record. They're like, yeah, well, you know, we just play on the weekends, and you know, we'll go down to the VFW or whatever else. You play in front of your friends, but you know, we were lucky to make a record with Kevin Antresian, who used to be the guitarist of the Dillinger Escape Plan. So we made two songs, one of them being Wallflower, with him. And you know, he was a blast. He was telling us a whole bunch of stories from the road, from opening up for Metallica to working with Alice in Chains. You know, the guy is filled with stories. So it was pretty cool to work with him and get his advice on a few things. But yeah, our biggest accomplishments is actually going to be upcoming. Now we can't 100% talk about this, but we are going to be, playing our one and only show, which is going to be a festival. Mm-hmm. The entire lineup isn't out yet, but God damn, if the rumored lineup is correct, holy shit, we are going to be playing with, and sharing the stage with a lot of massive bands.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, this festival is so legit, we actually had to sign an NDA about it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome, man. Yeah. So when this one goes live, I don't know when the date of this one's going to be. So, is it cool to keep that in?
I think I could tell you that the festival's in September.
Okay. Oh yeah. Well, this will probably air mid May. So.
Oh okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, yeah. But it's like one of those. It's one of those festivals like an Incarceration or, you know, like an Aftershock, like one of those big ass like festivals like that. We're playing on. Can't exactly tell you which one, but
yeah,
it's massive.
Yeah. Well, as soon as you get the information and all that you can share, feel free to tag us. We'll be sure to promote it for you guys.
Yeah. Thank you, man. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Of course. That's what this podcast is about, promotions.
Absolutely.
Well, since you said you're a cynic, then I'll ask you this question. What's your biggest challenge as a band?
Right now, finding a fucking drummer.
And it all circles back.
Yes, exactly. So you see how I wrap things up? Yeah. Challenge-wise, I think the hardest part is just to get all four of us in the same room at the same time. I mean, all four of us have incredibly busy schedules. Like we all talk every day. We have a band chat, which, you know, sometimes we have like useful conversations, but most times it's, you know, who's getting high and talking about like some of the weirdest shit off the wall. You know, who's sending us like random animated videos that are in different language. And we're just like looking at them like, why the fuck would you send that to us? So I think that's the biggest challenge is being all in the same place at the same time. And I hear a choo-choo in the background.
Yeah, that's our aesthetic. We are a block from the railroad.
Dang.
Yeah, and if you listen to any of our interviews, there's always one in the background. That's what sets us apart from the others. None of you other guys have cool trains in the background.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So yeah, that's our biggest challenge is just communication and just being in the same place at the same time. But when we are, look out. The sky is definitely the limit.
Awesome, man. Well, before I let you run, what are your three goals for this year?
That's a good question. Just trying to get out as much music as possible. So my entire plan, and obviously people laugh at plans when they don't come to fruition, but my entire plan is to come out with a new song every other month. Now, it's been incredibly challenging, but if you think about it, it's kind of like the same type of cycle as an album. So you put out an album, you tour for it for 2 years, and you write another one, another 2 years, and so on and so forth. With a new song every other month, you're looking at, for an entire year, is 6 songs. Mm-hmm. So 2 years would be 12 songs, which is the same as an album. But the cool part is you're always releasing new content. So it's not like here's all the 12 songs all at once and just going, okay, now we're going to disappear for 2 years while we go out on the road and tour on it. Or you could do what we do and put out a new song every 2 months, be like, hey, it's a whole new event. So, you know, we live in a society, obviously, with Netflix and Hulu and all these streaming sites where we want all the content now. We don't want to wait a week. You know, this no longer the years of The Sopranos or Breaking Bad where everyone watches week to week just going, oh, what's going to happen next? No, we want our shit now. Yep. And that's both good and bad. Good for the consumer, obviously. Terrible for the producer. Mm-hmm. You know, if you put out a show, let's say you put out a new show in January, by February, everyone's going to watch it already and just go, okay, now to the next one. So then you're going to have to rush out a new season. And, you know, obviously new seasons take time. So if you put something out in, let's say, 2020, you might not have a new season until maybe mid to late 2021. And by that time, how many different people are you going to lose because they moved on to other shit? Mm-hmm. So kind of like a race against ourselves almost. But at the same time, being a consumer of music, it's so cool just listening to like new bands that come out. But, you know, in the back of our minds, you know, being a fan of a band already, you're also really stoked about new music coming out. So I could listen to a Metallica album that came out in, let's say, 2008. And then let's say, you know, 2012, they come out with album and I'm like, oh my god, I'm stoked, it's Metallica.
Yeah,
you know, with everything else, it's not like that. So TV shows and movies, big disadvantage when it comes to that. Yeah. So that's one thing. Second thing, probably either get signed or work with the management company. So that's been a goal of ours for a while. We have been fielding a few offers, nothing has been legit, but we've been in the talking phase. So that's also a big thing. And the third would probably tour. That would be a huge thing for us since obviously 2020 and the whole pandemic thing kind of screwed everything up. Yeah. And just having one show this year, you know, it feels like you want more. And unfortunately, you can only do so much, and you can really only do so much with no drummer. But thankfully, we have one of my friends, Dan. He's been filling in for us. He's also been the one recording us. So he's kind of the master of all trades over here. And quick plug for his band. He's in a band called Dead Tide, and they're absolutely amazing bands. If you like melodic death metal, kind of like old In Flames, if you like that sort of thing, you'll love Dead Tide.
Very cool.
Yeah, so yeah, that's our three things.
One of the last shotgun.
Yeah.
best of luck on all that. And if there's anything that we at the Mosh Pit can help with, let us know.
Yes, play our songs over and over and over and over and over again. No other bands.
No other bands, just you guys for like a full show. Don't even air this interview, just play your music, right?
Full show. No. This is your programming from here on forward.
That's it. Just you guys.
Yes.
Just
yes.
Flip it on.
24/7 radio. Yeah.
I like that. Are we going to get sponsors?
I hope to God we do.
Okay. If we get sponsors, I'll play whatever. I don't care.
Hey.
Play the same song in 24-hour blocks. Here they are again. Click.
Didn't like old radio stations do that? It's like, hey, we're gonna, you know, we hate management, so we're gonna lock ourselves in here. We're gonna keep playing AC/DC over and over again. It's like, who the fuck's listening to this shit? It's like, all right, back and back for the 90th time.
Sadly, that would be me. I'm a huge AC/DC fan. They made their entire 40-year career on three chords.
Yeah, it's all one song.
Yep, one song, and it's either sex, drugs, or rock and roll. I'm good with that.
Yeah. I mean, to a lesser extent, Green Day did the same exact thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Same punk chords and the blah, 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 blah. My wife's a diehard Green Day fan, so it was for her.
Yeah, my co-host, she is too. She'll love that. She'll love that comment. You might get some hate mail, but hey.
And look, I love Green Day, but... You know, if I have to hear it when I come around again, I heard you cry down, the way to the sound. Oh, my God.
Hey, look, man, Atlanta Radio, that's like the only one they play down here. They didn't have any other songs on there except for maybe, what is that, Brainwash or Brain Stew or what's that song?
Oh, I'm having trouble trying to sleep.
Yeah, that one. Those two songs, constantly.
Hey, dude. Be lucky you have rock radio down there. We have shit in New York. Like, we used to be rock, man. We used to be the home of Howard Stern, Opie and Anthony. You had rock, and now it's just shit. It's just, I think we have 40. Like three different pop stations.
Yeah, we do too. They got rid of our one good rock station, and then they moved it to another rock station, and they started playing quote unquote new rock up to like, Five Finger Death Punch's cover of Blue on Black.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say Bad Company for a second.
No, they play that one rarely, and it's like really cool when they do, but 9 times out of 10, if they play a Five Finger song, it's Blue on Black, and I'm like, I hate that version now.
Out of all the Five Finger songs you could play.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, we get Blue on Black. We don't even get an original. We get a cover.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even get Gone Away. I mean, I think that is their best cover.
I love that cover. Honestly, shoot me, but their latest album was freaking amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I probably ran that one in the ground on however many trips I took to Savannah over the last year. Yeah. Do-do-do-do-do. Yeah.
Well, yeah, they're playing a lot of festivals, including Blue Ridge Rock Festival in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
My God Almighty! If you've seen the lineup for that, wow.
I want to say I saw it not long ago, but I've done 100 things since then, and I don't remember everybody that's on it. But I remember thinking, dude, I would love to go.
I mean, you definitely should go. I mean, it's 4 days. And like they announced Five Finger and Limp Bizkit as headliners so far. They have 7 more headliners to go.
Oh, man. And
the undercard, they have like, you know, Cypress Hill, Gojira, Skillet, Anthrax, Black Label, Killswitch, Falling in Reverse, Asking Alexandra, Underoath, Revron, Body Count, POD, Clutch, Beartooth, Sabaton, Bad Flower, Motionless in White, Ice Nine Kills, 7 Dust, Avatar, August Burns, Red Fever 333, and a whole lot more. Get your tickets today on Telecharge. Now.
Did I hear Kid Rock in that? What is this, 1999? What are we doing here?
Kid Rock is not on here.
No.
They might get added. Who knows?
Right. Who knows?
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
But yeah, if there's one festival you should go to, it's definitely that.
I'll definitely check it out.
Absolutely. September 9th to 12th in Danville, Virginia. No, that was not a paid advertisement. But if you'd like to promote here, please let us know.
Exactly.
Yes.
And, dude, I appreciate you sitting in on this. This was fun. I enjoyed talking to you about your band and just bullshitting around.
Absolutely. It's been a blast on our end. Yeah, so for everyone listening in, if you want to hear more about us, go to our website, oneofthelastband.com, for all of your One of the Last Band needs.
Are you looking for something to do on Sunday? Have time after church? Want to take your family out to a wholesome place to spend time together? Well, guess what? We're providing you with Soul Food Sunday in downtown Rockmart, our new cultural art destination. And guess what? We will be providing you with a wonderful show of arts and crafts and also some good eats. Getting out of church? Come on down and see us every Sunday for the month of June.
Each Sunday will feature one downtown business-sponsored food truck. We're going to do Soul Food Sundays. The first one's brought to you by Chroma Storm Arts. And, of course, the Mosh Pit is going to be there for each and every one. Come on out and hang out with us. Hear the music, see the bands, try the food. And don't forget to shop our beautiful downtown Rock Mart at the corner of East Elm Street and South Marble Street. Come on out.
Holy shit, that was awesome.